Our podcast reviews well-known movies and contains spoilers. The podcast may contain mature subject matter and mature language. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy the show.
Quiet on set. Places, everybody. And action.
It's time once again for the Hooked on Movies podcast. Today's movie, another fan request from listener Tom from 1980, Flash Gordon. With me are Ken.
Gordon's alive?
And Ted.
You pitiful fool. My life is not for any earthling to give or take.
And I'm Eric. Long live Flash. You saved the Earth. Have a nice day. That's right. We're talking Flash Gordon from 1980. Some would say the movie that started it all, and others would say it wasn't the movie it started it all. I guess we can talk about that.
Started all what?
Started all the superhero crap. I know Superman came out earlier, but yeah. Superman wasn't, I don't want to say as hokey as this one was, but whatever.
I don't know. Anything that you can reverse time by just going around the Earth backwards.
I was talking more of like an acting, Christopher Reeve's acting and Margot Kidder's acting chops versus this star-studded cast that we have. But let's talk about it. Let's kick it off with the synopsis, Ken. What do you got?
Although NASA scientists are claiming the unexpected eclipse and strange hot hail are nothing to worry about, Dr. Zarkov knows better and takes football star Flash Gordon and travel agent Dale Arden with him into space, rectifying things. They land on a planet, Mongo, where the despot, Ming the Merciless, is attacking Earth out of pure boredom. With the help of the race of Hawkmen, Flash and the gang struggle to save their home planet. And that is the synopsis of Flash Gordon.
That's pretty much how it is. When's the first time you gents saw this movie?
Cable, for sure. For me, it's a question of when it came out on cable. So I'm going to say probably around 82, 83, somewhere in that year.
Oh my goodness, I think I saw this thing probably in the late 80s, to be honest with you. I can't honestly tell you the first time I saw it, but it had to be on cable TV. What about you, Ted?
I'm in agreement with you, Eric. I don't really know exactly when. I do recall seeing it. I mean, it's...
Sure. I can honestly say I know I did not go to the video store and rent this movie.
Oh,
that I would
remember. No. It seems to me that it would have been something like a Saturday afternoon.
Stumble upon accident.
Right. Kind of like, not Svengoolie, but, you know, like USA would have Captain America or Captain USA, and he would show cheesy movies and stuff. That's probably where something like that. I'm sure KPLR out of St. Louis had something like Svengoolie, too. That
KPLR.
Yeah, it would have been there. That's
I'm pretty confident that this movie was not part of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, it should be, though.
It should be. I mean, the MSK movies are the classic cheese fest. But
those are so bad. I mean, those are
pretty sure this one was not one of them. But you're right. It could have very easily could have. So let's roll right in. Tell us the particulars of this one.
Okay, so Flash Gordon, directed by Mike Hodges. It was a screenplay by Lorenzo Semple Jr. It's based off of the comics and the serials, Flash Gordon. It has a running time of 114 minutes. It was released December 5th, 1980. It had a budget of $27 million. It had a box office gross of $46.5 million. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a critic score of a certified fresh 83% and an audience score of 69%. Flash Gordon stars Sam Jones as Flash Gordon, Melody Anderson as Dale Arden, Max von Sydow as Emperor Ming the Merciless, Topol as Hans Zarkov, Ornelia Muti as Princess Aura, Timothy Dalton, James Bond as Prince Baron, Brian Blessed as Prince Voltan, Peter Wingard as General Clytus, and some other people who are in the movie that have bit parts, but they've been in other things that we've done. Philip Stone, who is a Stanley Kubrick regular, as Zogi the High Priest. Robbie Coltrane, who starred in all of the Harry Potter movies, is the man at the airfield. Deep Roy, the actor, he's a short person. He's most known now for the Tim Burton remake of Willy Wonka. He played all of the Oompa Loompas. He stars as Fellini, the Princess Aura's pet. And R2-D2 himself, Kenny Baker, stars as one of the dwarfs.
Yeah, Kenny Baker in it. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Aura's pet was creepy.
Yeah, it's a lot of weird.
All the little people in this thing were creepy, but that's here and over there. So we want to talk about some of the production of this one, Ken.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are interesting facts about this movie. First of all, you know, Sam Jones got the part because the producer's wife saw him on a dating show. So that's how he got the part.
He is a pretty boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, pretty boy.
He's a very handsome man, that's for sure.
Yes.
The other people that were considered were Arnold Schwarzenegger, but because of his thick Austrian accent, they didn't like that accent for the part. And Kurt Russell. But Kurt Russell passed on it because it was too
cheesy
out there.
It was good taste prevailed.
Oh, okay. But then he goes on to make Escape from New York and then Big Trouble in Little China.
Well, again, good taste prevails.
Escape from New York is amazing. Kurt Russell considers Snake Plissken to be the defining role of his career.
And I have no problem with that. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for being out there, those kind of roles were kind of out there, especially the Big Trouble in Little China. There's not too much difference between Flash Gordon and Big Trouble in Little China, though I prefer that movie, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought Kurt Russell would have been awesome in this particular role. And he probably...
I don't know. I'm pretty happy with Sam Jones. The pretty boy looks as the New York Jets quarterback. I think it plays a pretty good part.
Yes, you like the looks, but do you like the voice?
Tell me why I don't like the voice, Ken.
You might like the voice.
I do like the voice.
It's not Sam Jones's voice.
Is it Kurt Russell's voice?
It's some Canadian voiceover actor that took over for him. I guess Sam Jones was in a little bit of a contract dispute. He wanted some more dinero, and the producer didn't see eye to eye on that. So Sam Jones didn't come back for the dubbing of the film. So they had to replace about 50% of his dialogue, if not more, with a voice actor.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, you got to really look hard to find it. But there's a few places it's a little noticeable. But if you're not looking for it, it's going to fly right by you.
Huh.
In fact, Ken, I didn't know that until you told me that earlier this week, and I rewatched the movie specifically looking for those parts.
That's really interesting.
There's actually a lot. So I don't know how you're going to find the exact parts in it. They're even saying that it's probably more voiceover than not. I mean, if you think about Sam Jones'
voice,
holy crap. We've heard of Sam Jones' voice in
very raspy. In Ted,
yeah.
I just figured it was a natural of getting older because
of all the cocaine and booze and whores he does, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's shocking to me. I didn't have any idea.
Shock the monkey.
I guess as some people say that Sam Jones had kind of a attitude issue on set.
No.
Like his, you know, shit didn't stink considering this was his first major role. I mean, before this, the only thing he did was a very small part in the movie 10 with Dudley Moore.
Right.
He played Bo Derek's husband.
Husband, yeah.
I heard a rumor he was in the movie Flesh Gordon. Was that correct?
Uh-oh.
No, but he was in Playgirl. So I remember that because you used to have a subscription, but
I let it lapse all online now. Yeah.
Everything's online. So yeah, a lot of craziness. Originally, George Lucas wanted to make this movie.
Yes. The reason that makes sense is because Flash Gordon, the serials inspired Lucas to write Star Wars.
Oh, look at that. He learns something new every day.
He was a huge fan of, he remembered going to the movie theater to see the serials. Flash Gordon was a huge influence. And if you look at like THX-1138, his first movie too is science fiction as well. It all makes sense. And that is not surprising. It was rumored for a long time that there was a Flash Gordon Lucas script floating around.
You just couldn't get the rights from DeLaurinaitis was really a big Flash Gordon fan as well and wanted to make this, so he just couldn't get the rights from
him. Are you talking Dino De Laurentiis?
Dino De Laurentiis,
greatest Italian name of all time, next to Mussolini.
And if you think about the movies he had done, Barbarella.
Oh, yeah.
This has a strong Barbarella feel to it, doesn't it?
This is a male version of Barbarella. I love Barbarella. Dino De Laurentiis movies are just classic cheese. They're like Roger Corman movies. Well, so you know what you're getting.
The screenwriter to this movie is the writer for the Batman series.
Well, there you go. That's so perfect.
That makes complete sense.
We need more pals and zooms and zams in it.
And if you come into this movie knowing that, it makes total sense. Even the aesthetic of the costumes and everything look just like the Batman TV show. Especially like the, I guess they're like lizard people. But that's complete Batman.
Oh, horrible Adam looking West too. Batman. They look like puppets.
It's horrid. It's complete cheese. It's complete Batman, Adam West Batman type stuff.
Do you guys know how Queen got on board?
So Queen was recommended, I think, by the director, because the producer did not know who Queen was. In fact, he referred them to the Who Are the Queens. So,
Who are the Queens, man?
He wanted Pink Floyd. In fact, at the end of the movie, the wedding ceremony, as Crazy Diamond is actually being played during that set to get them in that mood, I guess.
That's Shine On You, Crazy Diamond?
Yep.
Wow.
You could definitely smoke a lot of weed watching this movie. I could drop some hallucinogens, do a little Pink Floyd reference.
It would definitely fit with Pink Floyd. It would.
I could do it, definitely.
Yeah, because Pink Floyd did do experimental things with a couple of independent movies in England. I think some stuff off of Uma Guma and Piper at the Gates of Dawn, I think, are used in some independent movies that were shown at the acid clubs in London. Wow. That's ironic, because it's like Queen music from this is, in my opinion, is the best part of the whole movie.
It's definitely right up there, man. It's so catchy. I'm a huge Queen fan, so.
Oh, I love Queen.
It is just really, really right there. It's
Brian
pretty cool.
Brian May kicks ass with the guitar solos and everything.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
But he's a genius. He's an underrated genius.
Well, literally a genius.
He's a literal genie. He's a literal rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Right. No, but he takes a back seat to Freddie Mercury all the time.
Hey, now.
But he does. I mean, Freddie Mercury with his voice kind of overshadows everything that he does. And I mean, it seemed like after Freddie Mercury died, only then did he start getting real recognition for the stuff he's done with Queen.
Yeah.
He put out a solo album in, I think, 1990 called Back to the Light. And why I remember that is I saw him. He opened for Guns N' Roses in 1990.
Really? And that's cool.
Yeah, Brian May opened for Guns N' Roses on that Back
to the Light. Did you actually get to see Guns N' Roses?
Iowa City, Iowa. I saw them. Yep.
Wow. He actually showed up.
He did, but he cut his set short.
Axl did?
Axl did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
shocking.
Jesus,
you go in there expecting it, but Brian May was phenomenal.
I knew some people who were at the infamous St. Louis concert.
Oh, the one where it was a riot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, I think Queen really fit well into this, and I think
they're awesome.
They are awesome, and I really can't even picture another band. I can't really picture now like a Pink Floyd or any other band doing it.
I don't want that.
It's immortal. That theme song is now immortal. You can just sing it and hum it, and everyone knows what you're talking about.
This thing also had a few things. Multiple directors. You know, it started off. It just kind of kept on changing directors. It also had two film crews, one in Italian and one that spoke English.
Oh, Jesus.
The one in Italian didn't speak any English, so it was confusing to the cast and everyone as to what they were making. Were they making camp or were they making seriousness? So you could see back and forth in this movie, some scenes are extremely serious and some are very camp. And that's
especially with Timothy Dalton.
Yes. Especially with Timothy Dalton. Yes.
Is that serious or camp?
Serious on Timothy.
Oh, serious. I don't really like Timothy Dalton. So
I don't think he has another level anyway. I think it's all serious.
But Brian Blessed really plays this as funny.
Oh, because he loves Flash Gordon.
I love Brian Blessed. He's been in a lot of different things. Of course, he was in Star Wars: The Phantom Menace, which we'll do later in when we get to May. But he also was in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He was Robin Hood's dad.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I don't know, man. I just brought up Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Man, that movie is so long, it just never ends.
Oh, Robin Hood, Prince
of Thieves.
I like
Kevin Costner. I just watched that movie a couple weeks ago for the first time, and I couldn't get all the way through it.
Really? Robin Hood? You just saw it for the first time Robin a couple Hood. Weeks ago? Wow.
Yeah.
That's one I remember watching.
And you gave me a DVD copy of it. I decided to throw it in the old player and watch it, and I was like, no.
He's like, I'm going to burn this DVD now. So.
2 hours in, I'm like, nope, we're done.
My wife can't watch it because she hates Bryan Adams.
Unlike other Robin Hoods, I can speak with an English accent.
Yes, I know. I know. Yeah. I love Bryan Adams. That song blows. Oh, my God. That song is annoying as hell.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Are you kidding?
Do you?
Yeah.
It's pretty cheesy.
Oh, it's really cheesy. Song.
Everything I do for you.
Flash Gordon here. It's a great wedding song. Oh, God, if I play that thing at another wedding when I was DJing, I'd blow my head off. All right, Ken, tell us about part one of Flash Gordon.
To relieve his boredom, Emperor Ming the Merciless of the planet Mongo begins Earth's destruction by remotely causing natural disasters. On Earth, football star Flash Gordon boards a small plane and meets travel agent Dale Arden. Mid-flight, the cockpit is hit by a meteor, and the pilots die. Flash takes control and manages to crash land into a greenhouse owned by former NASA scientist Dr. Hans Sarkoff. Sarkoff believes that the disasters are being caused by aliens pushing the moon towards Earth. He has secretly constructed a spacecraft to investigate the attacks. Unable to do it alone, Sarkoff lures Flash and Dale aboard. He flies with them to Mongo, where they are captured by Ming's troops. After looking at the trio, Ming is smitten with Dale and orders Flash executed. At the last minute, Ming's daughter, Princess Aura, saves Flash, with whom she's fallen in love with him at first sight. While they escape, Sarkoff is brainwashed by Clytus, the head of the secret police. Aura and Flash flee to Arborea, kingdom of Prince Baron. Locked in Ming's bedchamber, Dale escapes, and Sarkoff is sent to intercept her. However, Sarkoff reveals he's resisted the brainwashing and escapes Mingo City with Dale. They are quickly captured by Prince Volturne's Hawkman and taken to Sky City. Aura and Flash arrive at Arborea. Aura asks the prince to keep Flash safe. Aura returns and is taken prisoner and tortured by Clytus and General Kala for her treason. Meanwhile, a distrustful Baron is in love with Aura, agrees not to kill Flash, but then forces him to play a deadly game of chance. With the odds stacked against him, Flash uses the opportunity to escape. Baron follows him, and they are both captured by the Hawkmen. And that's the end of part one.
Okay. So where do we want to begin? We want to begin at the meeting here of Flash Gordon and Dale Arden.
I mean, the beginning is about Ming being just kind of bored and, you know, why he's
Clytus,
picking on the planet in the first place.
Yes.
And they just happen to have all these little buttons that hot hail and hurricanes, typhoons,
things
that
they're 1980 buttons there.
An advanced society.
Yeah, and I got to admit, man, when I first saw this movie, I had the hots there for Miss Melody Anderson.
Dale Arden.
She can't act, that's for sure.
No.
Newsflash, Ted. None of them can act.
Calm down. There is one person who is the shining star in this whole movie, and it's because he plays it completely straight the whole movie.
Clytus.
That's Max von Sydow.
That's true.
He is awesome.
He is. But he's good in everything he does. Come on.
Oh, yeah, he's
Can we
one
name
of the
a
best
movie
actors.
That he is not good in? I mean, seriously, he is incredible, and he
ever.
Played that part beautifully.
Oh, yeah, he's great. One of my favorite actors.
He played a Chinaman on a different planet perfectly.
Exactly, right? Exactly, yeah. He played
an
Asian descent.
Nobody has a problem with this guy looking like a Chinese guy?
He's an alien.
Named Ming.
Cosplay?
They're all aliens. They have green blood, right?
Right. One of the things that really makes the movie, I guess, fun is a good way to put it. Just the costumes are so over the top. It's just something that's so campy. It's just so great. It makes me chuckle every time.
It's like, this is yeah. How aliens dress, right?
Exactly. Why isn't Flash playing in the football game he's listening to?
Richard Todd is playing, apparently.
Right. Whoever
I
that
know.
Is.
Richard Todd is a starting quarterback for the Jets in 1980.
The Aviators are like, well, they're saying it's like upcoming season. So I don't know if he's listening to, unless it's college football. College football doesn't start earlier, though. So is it a high school? I don't know what they're listening to.
I don't know. I thought he was listening to a Jets game.
Yeah, you would think he was, but they were talking about that he's coming back to play for the Jets this season.
He was on vacation.
Yeah, he's on vacation. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, they didn't have Thursday night football back then, so it wasn't like he was listening to the Thursday game and playing on Sunday. So I have no clue what kind of game this is.
Like very many things in this movie, it makes no sense.
Just roll with it. Don't
just
ask questions.
Just roll with the punches, because the whole Zarkov thing, that's weird. He's a mad scientist, right?
Yes, I mean, he is. He's a mad scientist. Yeah.
Who created a
rocket.
Escape
pod.
And a greenhouse.
And ironically enough, his rocket can leave the atmosphere, but apparently the ones today can't. So, right. Yeah.
He was from NASA. So let's
formerly
let's,
from NASA.
Formerly
yes.
from NASA.
Maybe, yes. maybe Elon needs to hire Zarkov.
Yes.
And then he's got an assistant who, of course, his bed turns in flames, and he's like, oh, the aliens are here. And he's got, he's kind of got proof. Dr. Zarkov has got some proof here. And his assistant is just like, I'm not going in with you with that. I mean, what do you think you signed up for? That rocket has been there since you probably been in there. He probably stole the rocket, to be honest with you. I just don't think he built it. The question is, how long has that rocket been in there, right?
And how about those simple controls just in the center? Oh, yeah. Just a foot pedal and a right. red button, and you're off.
And of course, it's accidentally hit.
Right.
Of course.
And of course, Dale falls in love with Flash like instantly.
Of course.
Like, within 15 minutes, she's hopelessly in love with Flash, and is the love of her life.
Do we know Flash's real name? Does he just go by Flash Gordon?
I guess he's just Flash. It's
not
far
like
as we
Kyle
know,
Flash Gordon.
Actually,
or...
his first name is Gregory.
Is it?
How yes. the hell do you know that?
It's called the internet.
Okay. Gregory Gordon.
Don't forget, this is an actual cartoon strip
That's
from
true.
The 1930s. And originally, Flash was a polo player. Now, I know.
Polo player?
Yes, he was originally a polo player. He was going to go visit his dad, who is a scientist as well. So this is, the original idea of Flash is a little different than what we're seeing here, because polo by 1980, doesn't really work.
Not in this country.
Football player works better. The only problem I had originally was, why does he wear his nickname on a shirt? And I guess I did some researching to find out that a fan gave him that shirt, and he wears it to try to find that fan. It would have been interesting to find out if Dale was that fan. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. I figured it was CTE.
I figured so he could remember his name.
CTE.
Yeah. CTE. Who am I? Oh, yeah. Flash. CTE. What are you talking about? Man, he can fly a plane. He's taken flying lessons.
But he hadn't learned how to land yet.
Well,
But I do find it interesting when this rocket does take off, the special effects are very 1930 to 50-ish special effects. I think it's an homage.
I like the music as it's kind of floating through space.
Oh, yeah. The music
that
is
synthesizer
cool.
is really cool.
I like the feel of it. I even like it when it crash lands on the
beating
planet.
The drum. Yeah.
And I mean,
which
I,
is
I,
really
I,
cheesy. That
I love
crash,
the cheesiness
it's like, come
because,
on.
Like I said, it's a nod to 1930s to 50s, as far as the lovely special effects they had back then. You see the planets, and you could tell that they're just balls hanging,
from a string or string. Something. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Something like no, that.
It's it almost seems it's moving bad. Around in the wind. Yeah.
Like Ted said earlier, the colors are amazing here. Even when they go into kind of like that black hole, really cool looking at it. So the
music helps too.
Now they're passed out because of lack of, I guess, oxygen.
Oh,
whoa, what a thing. But somehow they decided...
Oxygen never plays a role in this entire movie.
That was a pricey upgrade. Oxygen.
But they somehow hold hands together. They somehow get the muster, the strength up to put, get their hands together. Of course,
because they're in love.
Eric was in love within 15 minutes of seeing her, too. So I guess it can't happen.
I agree.
They land on the planet, and you got the police standing by. And then you got that weird gun that shoots out.
A hand.
That is just so weird. A hand. I wonder if that's in the comic book, if that's why they have like to use a hand.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Has a feel of Rock'em Sock'em Robots, that's for sure.
I love the red police guard's uniforms. It looks like something out of a World War I mask type horror movie almost.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense since the comic strip came out after World War I, so you probably have some of some stuff between World War I and World War II playing roles here. I think they do a good job of getting the feel of Flash Gordon with kind of modernizing it. I mean, it is very cheesy, but if you think of comic books, especially early comic books, are really cheesy.
But those are comic books. They're supposed to be.
Right.
Because they're kids. They're, preteens reading comic books. They want it to be cheesy. They want it to be fantasy-driven. And I guess this movie, obviously, is kind of cheesy and fantasy-driven.
I think it's more cheesier than when he is fighting off the guards in the palace. In the
playing football. Hall,
playing football.
Go, Flash, go!
Exactly.
Oh, my
there
God.
There it is. And I guess that was so ad-libbed by Melody Anderson.
Oh, my God.
They kept it in, and it's just, go, Flash, go. And it's just,
go, Flash, go.
I mean, might as well have given her a full cheerleader outfit. Pom-poms.
Well, exactly.
Would have worked great. My biggest beef with this movie up to this point is Topol. He is horrible in this movie. I know he's probably playing it for cheesiness and overacting, but he doesn't need to. Especially his character has there's no benefit to overact the doctor, especially the way he's overacting.
On the roof, but,
it is what it is. I mean, everybody here is chewing up screen. Holy smoke. And every time anybody's on the screen, they're munching away. It's just insane.
I just think that scientist needed to play a little bit more straight.
But he's crazy.
I mean, but just his voice inflections are just a little. It's just too much for me.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but you could say that about just about everybody here.
I actually, when we just talked about it, I do think Sam Jones doesn't really play it up to cheese. I think he's playing it pretty straight himself.
It's because it's not his voice.
That's not his voice.
Yeah, but, that's weird. Yeah.
How do we know? Right. You never know, right?
But I still think it's played pretty straight. And I do think Dale's played pretty straight, except for the go, Flash, go part. Her emotions is a little bit an overkill. But in general, I think she plays it straight as well. The fact that he gets brainwashed and somehow he's able to not be brainwashed because he remembered Einstein and a Beatles song. I was confused how he was able to keep his memories intact.
What made me laugh was when Clytus says, he shows all of the Nazis.
Hitler, yes.
He goes, oh, that guy shows some promise.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A little nod to the Nazis.
I was like, wow.
There we go, Clytus. Smokes. Yeah. That guy shows promise. Yes.
Clytus is pretty awesome. I love his whole aesthetic. And even some of his guys that are with him have that Frank Langella kind of look from Masters of the Universe, where it's kind of like the skull, but it's gold. It's really kind of cool.
I like Clytus's character a lot. He's always so authoritative. Nobody dies in the palace.
I love the scene at the palace. I think it's my favorite part of the whole movie is the palace. And it's because we get to see Prince Baron and Volten. And during the fight, he's got his little, like, kind of like a club, and he's just kind of hitting people over the head with it, and he's just like whistling like nothing, like he hasn't done anything. It makes it a lot of fun.
How come they had to kill the black guy?
For his loyalty.
For his loyalty.
But actually, the guy who plays that role is also in the Harry Potter series.
Yes, I was thinking that this time around when I watched it. I did not know that before, but then when I watched it this time around, I was like, yeah, that's a guy from like the middle Harry Potter films.
Yeah, from the Prisoner of Azkaban on.
And it just shows how Ming is. Merciless. And then we get because he, you know, takes his sword and just jabs him in there. But what's really weird is when Flash gets knocked out, courtesy of Zarkov, accidentally, of course, the princess wants him saved. And there's that sexual tension between the princess and her father.
Oh, Mora. Yeah. Yes.
No, that's a little weird. Yeah.
I want him.
Yeah.
Please let me have him. She's kind of like
caressing his face. And
oh, yeah. And she's a tease. She's a little minx, isn't she?
They've had sex. Let's be honest.
There you go. Ken went there. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well,
he doesn't really have a lot of love for his daughter down the road, does he?
Oh, no. Because it's all about him. He's the narcissist. So
very much so.
But all of them are narcissists to a certain extent. Have to be changed. And of course, who's going to change them? Flash, because of the way Flash is. Because Flash is brave and he's modest and
he's for every one of us.
Kind. Thank you for saving us all, as I said in TED.
Yes.
Right. I just think of that part. And then Ted is like, he acknowledged it.
He acknowledged it. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts in that whole movie. We just did an episode on it just before this one, so go check it out if you haven't seen the episode about Ted. Tim Jones does a good job here. He's the perfect Flash Gordon. I don't see anything wrong with the way he was.
I would have liked to hear his real voice.
Yeah.
True.
I wish there were like outtakes that had like his real voice on it. He's probably got some like southern accent or something. You know what, Ming?
It was probably the Californian accent. He looks like a Californian dude.
Yeah.
Dude. Ming, oh my god, sounds like Bogus Keanu Reeves. Man.
Keanu Reeves as Flash Gordon.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Pretty cool, Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves has had a cool renaissance, but definitely Bill and Ted era Keanu Reeves. Point Break, and unfortunately,
Johnny Dracula. Utah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And of course, they have a gas chamber. Why do you just not stick a sword through him like you did that other guy? I mean,
But you know what's really kind of cool is the helmet thing that they put him in. It's like a little medieval torture device type thing.
Oh, he didn't have a mark on him, though. You know, it's not a mark on his body. His glistening body, not a mark. So.
Yeah. Really nice to give a last request. You know, you can give a last request. And he refuses the last meal, but of course he wants to see his girlfriend. And then you have the lovely the sand clock there that goes up instead of down. And she's wasting time by trying to flip the sucker over not flipping over.
It's all bizarre, man.
Very much so.
I do like the brainwashing part, except is everything's out of sequence. It goes backwards, but then sometimes it inches forwards and then goes backwards again. So like he had, I guess, a wife that died or drowned.
She drowned in the pool.
I guess.
Yeah, but they do it. They reverse, but then they go forward showing that she died, and then they reverse it again. A lot of, I guess, because you have to play the part of speaking parts and you can't play those speaking parts while in reverse because they'll just sound like gibberish. And at the end there, it seems like that they wiped him because they've gone all the way back to when he came out of his mama's coochie coo. So,
womb.
I like to say coochie coo.
Rock and roll hoochie coo.
That would probably be a good name for this movie. There's a lot of sexual innuendos during this whole movie. If this was released in the mid-80s, it would have got a PG-13, but it gets a PG rating here.
Princess Aurora herself could have caused this to be PG-13.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's, because every guy wants to be with her, including her dad. Clytus that wants to be with her. You got Baron that wants to be with her. You got that weird doctor who administers that thing to keep Flash alive. He wants to be with her.
You got Flash who wants to be with her.
I love it when he's in the thing and he's like trying to do the telepathy. to Dale. And he's like, oh, this chick's really turning me on.
Oh, God, that is so cheesy.
Telepathy.
That, oh, my God. If there's a step too far, that is almost that.
It's... So we are kind of treading in like Flesh Gordon waters. You could go down that road very easily. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
A little music tone. Less clothing. Yeah,
you're just
chicken. You,
that's right.
You're just a couple of steps removed.
You are. Yes.
Yep. All you are is one letter away from changing it from one type of movie to another.
That's
type
right.
Of movie,
yeah. So. That's right.
It's a level in contrast too about playing it serious, because like you have Max von Sydow who plays it straight, but then there's Timothy Dalton straight, where he's like super duper serious.
He's a douche.
James Bond serious.
He's a douche. Right. Come on.
Is he supposed to be James he's Bond, like, or is he supposed to be Robin Hood?
No, he's I'm Prince Baron. I'm the most important person in the world.
Right.
Worship me, Hawkman.
And what is up with Aboria? And that's a really bad name. When they show up, they're doing this initiation. And I'm sorry, are they jacking off? Because it really sounds like they're just having... She even says, I love initiations. And I'm wondering if she says that because all they're doing is going... It's creepy.
Looks a lot like Dagobah.
When you're 9 or 10 years old...
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Originally, it was all, I guess, pink. And I guess the director's like, I'm not filming this pink. Sorry. No.
That's even too sexually...
Yeah.
Charged.
You'd be like, welcome everybody.
Here again, like I said, is Baron supposed to be Robin Hood or James Bond? I don't get it.
James Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He's a prick. I mean, they're all pricks to a certain extent. So,
but he is.
Look at the initiation. You know, he's happy to kill that young guy after he gets bitten by that thing in the rock, which I actually think that's kind of a cool thing that they have there, and it works out really well later on.
Big giant slug Flash. In the rocks.
Yeah. Right. I think the initiation thing is kind of cool, but it seems like he takes too much joy in just gutting somebody.
He's a very bizarre character, and his redemption and change is so drastic and immediate. We'll talk about it in the second half.
Yes.
But it's... It's so dramatic. It's so like complete 180. It's like, wow, dude.
You got the scene where he tries to kill Flash and they play the game. And I think that game is kind of cool. And I like that Flash turns it around and tries to escape. But what the hell is that thing that tries to eat Flash up? Is it something like a blanket that just tries to cover him over? I mean, that's probably the worst part of this movie. I mean, I want some cheesy special effects in this movie, but that's going a little too crappy.
28 million, huh?
Yeah, 28 million. And I guess Dale was supposed to be a spider. Flash was hallucinating and thought that Dale had turned into a spider. But then they looked at it and were like, we don't see what the purpose of it was.
That's too Pink Floydish for us.
They actually had her dressed up and everything and had the spider thing to put on her head and everything.
Oh, dear God.
Ooh,
yeah, they got that far. It's almost like watching an episode of Seinfeld. It's interesting characters, but they are
okay.
They're just all about themselves.
Interesting. That's
they are.
Interesting.
You're right. They well, you know what? But Flash isn't, because he's Flash
he's for everyone.
Well, he's the
well,
one
for everyone. Thank you. But he's trying to save the Earth. I mean, that's the whole point of everything.
Yeah.
He's willing to sacrifice himself to save the Earth.
Well, all of them are. Even Dr. Zarkov is ready to lay down his life. I don't know if it's because he really wants to save Earth or if he's seeking glory or what, but...
Is Earth really worth saving?
In 1980, maybe. Maybe 1980. I don't know.
Reagan was president.
No, Carter was president up until January of 81.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Lame duck president.
Quack, quack. We didn't talk about the creepy lizard people. And not the Alex Jones lizard people. I mean... Holy smokes. Could those costumes have been any worse?
They're just socks.
Sock
I mean,
they paint
your face green and just put a giant sock on you.
The red face part of it, too.
And they use it multiple times.
They keep popping up all over. It's like a Where's Waldo type of a thing. It's like, oh my God, there's another lizard person.
No, and kill it.
Here's the thing. Aren't they trapped also into that little cage that's in the swamp?
Is that from the deer hunter? Did they decide to go super serious?
Nice.
I mean, holy smokes. So and cheesy.
You got it that is. One actor from the Rocky Horror Picture Show right there is that plays like second command. He's playing that flute earlier.
I forgot about the whole flute thing.
The bald guy playing the flute. Yeah.
That is so weird too.
Yes. I think we can roll into part two of this one. I got a lot to talk about part two.
Flash and Baron are taken to Sky City, where Flash and Dale are briefly reunited. Flash is forced to fight Baron in a death match. However, Flash instead saves Baron, causing Baron to join him. Clytus arrives, and Flash and Baron kill him. Knowing that this will bring retribution, Fulton and the Hawkmen evacuate, leaving Baron, Flash, Dale, and Zarkov behind. Then Ming's ship arrives and captures Baron, Zarkov, and Dale. But impressed with Flash, Ming offers him lordship over Earth in exchange for loyalty. Flash refuses, because it doesn't save Earth, right? Come on. Flash refuses, and Ming gives the order to destroy Bolton's kingdom along with Flash. Finding a rocket cycle, Flash escapes before Sky City is destroyed. Flash contacts Fulton, and they plot an attack on Mingo City. To defend the city, General Kala dispatches the war rocket Ajax, which is ambushed and seized by the Hawkmen. Meanwhile, Princess Aura overpowers her guard and frees Baron and Zarkov from the execution chamber. Flash and the Hawkmen attack Mingo City as Ming and Dale's wedding begins. Mingo City's lightning field can only be penetrated by flying Ajax into a suicidal speed. Flash volunteers to stay at the helm to ensure success and enable the Hawkmen to invade the city. After fighting through Ming's guards, Baron also manages to deactivate the lightning field before Ajax hits it. Flash flies the rocket ship into the city's wedding hall and impales Ming. Flash offers to spare his life if he stops the attack on Earth, but Ming refuses, but he attempts to use his power ring on Flash, but it falters and nothing happens. He then aims the ring at himself and is seemingly vaporized by its remaining power. A victory celebration ensues. Baron and Aura become the new leaders in Ming's place. Baron names Voltan the general of their armies. Flash, Dale, and Zarkov discuss returning to Earth. Zarkov says he does not know how they'll get back, but they will try. Meanwhile, Ming's ring is picked up by an unseen person. Ming's evil laugh is heard closely afterwards. The end.
Question mark.
Yeah.
Question mark, yes. You know what this movie reminds me of now that I'm thinking about it? It reminds me of the made-up movie from Argo.
Yes. It's purposely done that way, probably.
When you're looking at those characters, I'm like, where have I seen these characters before, you know?
In fact, I think they're I said that during our podcast that it
did
reminded
you?
Me of Flash
okay.
Gordon.
I think so, yeah. Your synopsis of the second half of the movie is so so convoluted and complicated that it's...
Thank you. I aim to please.
Yeah.
They didn't need to make this so complicated. The whole fight to the death scene with Baron and Flash is just so ridiculous.
It's awesome. It's the best part of the second half of the movie.
And oh, none of them fall on the spikes, too.
And,
it's
right,
just
exactly.
So
they
beautifully.
They actually use the spikes to save themselves.
Right, it's, right.
And this is Baron's, like, massive turn. He turns from a heel to a baby face, and all of a sudden he's all for Flash Gordon. You were just trying to kill him. I mean, come on now. It's so ridiculous. It's
the special effects when Ming is blowing up
the city.
What's it called? Circuit City or whatever the hell the name
yeah,
of that
Circuit
place
city.
Is called.
Sky City.
Those special effects are
so
poor.
Bad.
I'm like,
you
could do a better
model.
Job.
Oh, it's
I could do
so
a better job.
Model.
Yes, yes. I'm like, ooh, look at the sparks flying as they're. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And Flash is on a what is it?
Rocket cycle.
But yet it has a walkie-talkie that...
Right.
Not a walkie-talkie, it's a CB radio.
Literally, breaker, Voltan. That's right.
Watch your 20. So.
It's right.
My God, it's
yes,
so cheesy.
It
I guess
is.
They have one of those just in case one of the Hawkmen hurts its wings
can't
and can't
fly. Right? Clearly, clearly,
and
yes.
How many Hawkmen get, like, blown away? Like, holy smokes. They're, like, worse than the red shirt guys from Star Trek. They're getting knocked off one after another.
Oh, yeah, the Flying Eagles there, just like the Hawkmen.
Well, somebody has to die. So
someone has to die.
Wow.
So question here. So Bolton, earlier in the film, when he's trying to kill Baron in the palace, they threaten him with sacrificing his daughter.
Does she have wings?
I think so.
Okay.
So
where are all the hawk women at? Because there's not one dang hawk woman in that city.
The hawk honeys, bring them in.
Did they leave them there to die?
She's the only remaining female of the hawk men.
Yeah.
Oh
exactly.
Boy, we're going down another road here, aren't we? Another road.
All of a sudden, we're talking about Flesh Gordon again.
That's right.
Maybe the Hawkmen have two body parts.
Maybe they do. So. Yes.
Aphrodite's.
Oh, Lord,
because she
mercy.
Doesn't look anything like any of them, to be honest. She's got
all her hair.
Oh yes.
So weird.
It is. I love Ming, aka Trump, there trying to make a little speech to. Flash, I was going to say Flesh, to Flash offering him, you know, a kingdom if you worship me, your undying loyalty. And so what does he do? He leaves them there to die.
It's so Adam West Batman.
It is.
And there are multiple points where that it feels that way, where Flash is in peril and he needs to get his way out and they figure it out.
Almost like James Bond too.
Right.
No, Mr. Bond, I plan to fondue the world while you sleep with my mistress.
It's so cheesy. And it's so overly complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
It's almost like they think they're like Shakespearean actors on the stage there, you know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yes, sometimes they're like over the top, like they're really trying, you know, to ham it up here.
Except for Brian Blessed, who always looks like he's one take away from just on his knees laughing so loud that he's saying these words.
Yes.
Well, he enjoys this stuff. In fact, when he goes up to Dale and pinches her ass, that was actually a real thing. He actually went up to her and grabbed her in the ass, and she made that sound. And that laugh that he's giving is his reaction to her reaction, because that actually wasn't in the script.
I'm sure there's a lot of things that weren't in the script.
He's a crazy guy. He really is. I don't want to say he's a nut job, but if you ever listen to interviews with him, man, is he a storyteller.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great. He is awesome.
Is he still with us?
Last time I checked, he was.
Yeah, if you can find interviews with him, he is absolutely hysterical, like Monty Python level funny.
Yeah.
He's a treasure.
Stated earlier, he grew up on these comics, so this is the part he really, really wanted.
So I don't know anything about the comics. I mean, I know a little bit,
neither.
But not the details. Were there Hawkmen in the comics?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Okay,
It's like a direct interpretation.
It?
Yeah, okay. That's what I read.
Okay.
I've actually not read any of the Flash Gordon comics, but they were done way before I was.
So probably the Hawkman is like, yes.
Flash Gordon comics were even predated the first appearance of Superman and Batman. Flash Gordon was one of the first.
So in a way, when you say that this is the one that started it off, it kind of did, but back as a comic strip, not as a movie. Mm-hmm.
Was there a Flash Gordon radio show?
That's interesting. I don't know.
There was a TV show.
Yeah, there was a brief TV show. It's mostly known for, and there was another movie too. But it's mostly known for the serials that would come on before in the movie theater before the main the main picture on a Saturday afternoon. Because my dad would talk about going to the movies, and there would be Saturday afternoon cartoons where they would show, you know, these serial shorts, and you'd have to come back next week to get the next episode.
Right, hook them in while they're young.
So as far as Brian Blessed, he is still with us. He is 87 years old.
Wow.
He was acting as late as, I believe, 2016, I believe. But he kind of like collapsed on stage and had heart issues. So he was kind of forced to kind of retire.
And he really is a good actor, too. Right? Really.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of like that traditional English actor type of Shakespearean type of actor. He falls into that very, very well.
Well, most English people sound like they're doing Shakespeare.
Right.
Yes, with just their normal conversation.
So, right.
Of all the characters, he was having the most fun on this.
Oh, by far.
Not even taking anything seriously.
By far.
Yeah.
He is a riot in this movie.
And I do like his character, because I think out of all the characters, he might be the most consistent.
Really?
Yeah, because I think even at the beginning, he is a silly guy.
He turns serious there for a while.
I mean, there's times where when you're a leader, I think you have to be serious. But I think the type of character he is, I think, is consistent throughout.
He was willing to leave Gordon there to die in on Circus City.
Well, he's trying to save his own people.
Yeah, but he could have flew them.
One of the funniest things is when they're in the ship and they're flying in, and he's going to stay.
Silly old bird.
He's going to stay with, with Flash and crash through. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, he just like instantly turns and is like, okay, I'm gone.
All right, see you later.
He's like, get out of here, Voltan, you silly bird. He's like, okay, Flash, good to know you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Die well. He's almost kind of like a Klingon, but he is a jolly Klingon because he's like die a jolly well.
Santa Claus, like an English Santa Claus.
Earlier on, he does say on the planet Klingon that he wished that he had a do-over because he realized how brave they were and they had integrity. And I think he lives by some type of honor himself. Oh. And he realized that he didn't really honor his own honor code. So that's why I think he's the most consistent, whereas like Baron, like you said, all of a sudden, we owe everything to Flash. Let's join up with Flash, you know.
Unfortunately, that's a great Timothy Dalton you do there. That's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I've been working on
Flash.
It.
So. The whole sequence of them flying the ship, you can tell that they were trying to do a Star Wars ripoff.
Only 3 years later.
Of the recreating the trench run at the Death Star.
I think it's done well for the most part. It's cheesy, but I think it works, especially with the music. And I think the combination really works. And then even when it comes into the city to basically impale Ming, I love the cheesiness. And again, the 1930s, 40s, 50s kind of style there. I think it's a lot of fun. It's what is weird is those guys with the visors, when they you take the visor off their head, they all die off.
It's the guys at Cloud City in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, and one of them actually is the guy who plays Lando's sidekick.
Ah, talk about being typecast.
Yeah, right. One of the things we haven't touched on is the very, very weird and kind of sexual thing between Aura and
everyone,
and Darden, and how that whole sequence goes down.
Aura and who?
Flash's girlfriend. And all of a sudden, she's marry.
Cat fight.
They're hitting each other with pillows.
I didn't pick up on
but
that.
Then there's some real like sexual tension between the two of them. And then all of a sudden, Flash's girlfriend's like, "Yeah, but I have to marry him." It's like, what? I have to marry Ming?
I think you're getting two movies confused here. I think you're thinking Flesh Gordon.
Because I don't recall them having any sexual tension at all.
Oh my god!
I don't trust you. You have Ming's blood.
All of a sudden, they become
me.
Really best friends.
And she just
friends.
Says, "I guess I have to rewatch it for the 30th time because I did not. I caught it with every
it's
other
so
male
weird.
That she's near. Even Clytus wants a piece of that ass. But and the actor that played Clytus is a homosexual, and he still wanted a piece of that ass.
Outside of Baron's turn from, you know, be hating Flash to loving him, that whole sequence in like a series of 5 minutes, they go from hating each other to like really liking each other.
You're talking to Aura. You're talking to Aura and stuff. Yes, she has tears.
Because she has tears. Hey, we'll go back a little bit though. I really do like it when Clytus shows up on the Cloud City. And he basically told, you know, Baron that they tortured his girlfriend. He's like,
You're a traitor.
And I think she liked it.
Yeah, right. Now there's your sexual attention.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Oh my God.
He's like, I think she enjoyed it.
Yeah. And then when Baron basically tackles him and throws him on the spikes to kill him.
Right.
And I guess the actor who played Clytus didn't want to die. He thought there would be sequels. In fact, they were signed for sequels. For this film, and Sam Jones actually sued them for not honoring the other two movies, which they never did. Yeah, he didn't want to die, and they finally said, you know, you're going to die. You need to die.
You're going to die.
Though they say, some people say that's him at the end of the movie picking up the ring.
Because he
never
dies.
But he melted like the Wicked Witch of the West.
They all do.
I know. And then the whole place got shot to oblivion. And that was really cheesy, watching the eyes and the tongue pop out. Ugh. Yeah, special effects, but it actually works really well.
I think it was Aura picking up the ring.
Hey, I wouldn't put it past her.
I think it's Ming. I don't think Ming died.
You think Ming's back from the grave?
Use the ring.
He's
to
better than Houdini.
Transport himself to a medical facility.
Right. He's the big bad. Who else are they going to have as the big bad?
Especially if you're having sequels, right?
Exactly.
You leave it open for the sequel. There was talk of a sequel, right? But do we know what a plot was going to be in that?
No. I would imagine it's them trying to get back to Earth and facing other type of Ming type of leaders on the way back.
Landing on a different planet.
Yeah, but I think that's all there was that I know of.
I see. Okay. Well, let's talk about our reviews here. I'll go first, if you don't mind. I align my review with a gentleman by the name of Dave Kerr, who is with the Chicago Reader. And he says Flash Gordon is a respectable time waster. I think that movie sums it up. It's a guilty pleasure. When it's on, I watch it. But the more I watch it, the more cheesier I think it is. But it's a fun movie. Don't take yourself seriously. It's not Christopher Nolan's Batman or, you know, don't go too deep on the plots here. But it's fun. And the casting is fun. Special effects suck. But the music rocks. The music gives me like an extra hook just by itself. So I'm giving this one a solid 3 hooks. It's one I own. I own this one on 4K. That's how much I kind of like it. But truth be told, I got a really good price on the 4K. It's actually worth it. So I think if you haven't seen this one, go out and watch it. I think you'll have a good laugh and you'll really get a kick out of it. Ken, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going with Adam Smith from Empire Magazine. And he says, laughably bad and fantastically good all at once. This is a guilty pleasure that everyone can enjoy. It's cheesiness taken to 11. It's really, I like the special effects in some areas because I like the homage to the old films of the 30s to 50s, especially.
So you really think they were doing an homage? You don't think they were actually, you know.
If you watch the original TV.
That's all we got. Yeah.
If you watch the original TV series, it's almost kind of identical. Yeah. They look very similar.
But 1930s, man, that's top tier. That's special effects of the day.
I get that. And I think they were trying to recreate that to a certain extent.
Let's hope that's true.
I definitely believe it's true.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they basically used the same type of spaceship that they used in the TV series. They used the same type of, like I talked about, planets hanging by a string. That was done in the TV series as well.
Those are set designs. The special effects, you could tell that they were trying to imitate Star Wars because, I mean, everything.
I don't agree with that.
I'm not going to argue with you, but how
they're imitating Star Wars.
I'm sure Star Wars had some influence just at how big that movie was.
It changed
everything. There's no way in hell you're going to imitate it. I mean,
it changed everything.
Yeah, you could pull a few things here and there.
I mean,
but
Princess Leia is not going to be saying, go Flash, go, or go Luke, go. I mean,
not what we're talking about.
I know, you're talking about special effects, but I don't know what special effects you're talking about here that are similar
explosions,
to Star Wars.
Explosions and things like that.
What do you want them to do? That was of the time. What other type of special effects are they going to be using?
Damn it, Ken, finish your review.
Well, I'm finishing my review.
Do you like this movie or not?
I do like this movie.
I know you do.
I'm not static about this movie. I mean, the acting is in some areas really good and it's really cheesy in others. And I'll rephrase it. The set designs are very enjoyable. The colors are really nice to look at. The music, of course, is incredible.
Can we agree, though, more nudity might have helped?
We get close.
A little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Just
a nudge.
That's why
PG rating in 1980 was pretty far.
You see the other movie with the vowel changed, and you could watch that version. So anyway, I'm going to give this one a 3.5 hook.
Whoa!
I'll come back to see it once in a while. It's not one of my go-to films, but it's fun. It doesn't take itself seriously, and if you ever want to just watch a movie for just shits and giggles, this is your film.
It is Dino De Laurentiis. That says it all. How about you, Ted? Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the critic that I admire most, Roger Ebert, from the Chicago Sun-Times. Here's an excerpt from his review. Flash Gordon is played for laughs, and wisely so. It's no more sophisticated than the comic strip it's based on, and that takes the curse off of the material that was old before it was born. This is space opera, a genre invented by Edgar Rice Burroughs and Hugo Gernsback, and other men of unlimited imagination harnessed to definitely limited skills. It's fun to see it done with energy and love, and without the pseudo-meaningful apparatus of the Force and Trekkie power. Is it all ridiculous? Of course it is. Is it fun? Yeah, it sort of is. I couldn't agree more, and I agree with you, Eric, and I agree with most of what Ken has to say. You guys have pretty much said everything that I could say. It's so campy. It's amazingly fun. You have to laugh at it, but it's enjoyable, and it doesn't take itself seriously, even though a couple of the actors did take it a little bit more seriously than others. But that's explained away by what Ken said, that there was two different filming crews giving two different directions. That sums up this movie. The fact that there was two film crews, that one couldn't speak English and the other could. It's just a comedy of everything. And it holds a special place because this is the movie that when Ken and I were deciding to do a podcast, this is what we started. So it holds a special place for me in that sense too. That's not going to affect how many hooks I give it. I agree with Ken. I'm going to give it 3.5 hooks. It's better than but it's fun. And there's a lot of different things you could do with this movie. You could create a lot of really cool drinking games off this movie.
Yes,
too.
You can.
Or if you want to imbibe, if you want to take other sorts of fun things.
Liberties. Yes.
Right. It would also be very entertaining that way as well.
Very much so.
I'm surprised this hasn't been turned into a TV series.
Or actually even remade with all the Marvel Universe and remakes. DC and everything. I'm surprised it hasn't been remade.
I'm surprised they haven't tried. Yeah, they've
tried, redone everything else. Why not this one?
But it's almost iconically bad. Do you really want to remake it?
You know, I would not be surprised. I actually think you could remake this. You could turn it into a Netflix
really
10-part series. So.
Oh, yeah. You could make it really freaking cool.
Sure.
But it would take a lot of the fun away.
Of course it would. Yes. Yeah.
I think you can expand on it and make it even more fun. Maybe we find out a little bit more about Ming and his daughter and find out what's going on there, right?
Again, wrong movie, Ken. Wrong movie.
Wrong movie, but is it really? I mean,
I don't think you can make this as campy as you could in 80 today. I don't think the public would put up with it. I think all your little fanboys out there would want something a little bit more of a plot that they could read into.
They would have to market it as that this is different than the movie, and we're taking it more seriously.
Yeah, I get it.
But I think enough time has went by that we need something campy. I mean, it would be fun to have something fun and campy again. We haven't really had those type of movies come out lately.
So. Been a while.
And it would
been
be a TV, while. I would, and a 10-part TV series would be different, a different type of camp.
Well, sure. Right.
Yeah, I'm surprised Amazon or Netflix hasn't tried.
Well, especially with Amazon doing The Boys.
Well, now that's a whole, yeah. It's campy, but that's also kind of super serious, though, too.
No, but I think you can get away with that kind of style for a Flash Gordon type of movie.
You could.
So our next movie, boy, talk about going polar opposites here. our next movie is the movie Spotlight, which is focusing on the liberties of the Catholic Church.
Very
a little
campy.
Bit more serious.
Very so, campy.
Yeah, very campy.
Complete 180 from Flash Gordon.
Except the sexual stuff.
Oh, wow. That's wow. Okay.
Okay. Where can they find us on the World Wide Web, Ted?
We can be found on Twitter/X. Elon needs to talk to Dr. Zarkov. But anyway, we can be found on that platform at hooked_on_movies. Start discussions about movies. Tell us what you think about Flash Gordon.
Or Flash Gordon.
or Flash Gordon, one or the other.
Please, yes.
Anything goes on Twitter.
Not on our Facebook page, but we keep that clean. So just letting you know.
Family friendly, please.
Yeah, family friendly on Facebook. But whatever podcast version you're listening to us on, whether it be Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, if you can, leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. Write on there what you think about Flash Gordon. It all helps us get to be noticed.
Cool. And Facebook, what's going on there?
Join us on our Facebook page, Hooked on Movies. You can see trailers of the movies that we review, particular scenes sometimes we'll share with you, as well as, you know, things that are happening in Hollywood. Mainly people that die, unfortunately. That kind of sucks. But definitely join into the discussion and feel free to, share whatever thing that interests you in the movie industry with us as well.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. That's all the time we have on this episode of Hooked on Movies, the podcast. We'll be looking at Spotlight next episode. And as always, this means something.
See you at the movies.
See you next time on Hooked on Movies. Deaf to Ming.